now accept this beautiful garland. Look at that. This fits exactly. Thank you so much. And now we want to hear what happened next. You remember we studied this narration and in a certain context. We wanted to understand really challenges in spiritual life and learn how Haridas Thakur overcame these challenges. And we also wanted to learn a little bit what is the result of someone who, for someone who offends such a great devotee as Haridas Thakur. We heard, and it was a little shocking really, that not only Ramachandra Khan was affected, but much more dangerously so. The whole village in which he lived suffered for one man's mistake. So today we want to accompany Haridas Thakur for further spiritual, let me say, sounds so foolish to say adventures, but we will hear further what happened to him. And I request you to hear very attentively, drawing out the important lessons for your own spiritual life. After Haridas Thakur had left his little cottage near the village of Benapur, he felt great ecstasy in his heart. He had seen the amazing and transformational powers of the Holy Name, which even changed the life of a former prostitute and made her a saint. Now, in great ecstasy, he could not really walk. He sometimes danced, sometimes skipped. And ecstatically chanting, he somehow crossed the Ganga by swimming and arrived in the village Saptagram. He knew that there was a great devotee staying in Saptagram, and he directly went to his house. Yadunanda Acharya was his name. Saptagram was the place where the two uncles of Raghunandas Goswami lived. Oh, my dear devotees, these uncles were such wonderful people. They were extremely rich. But what they did with all their wealth is exemplary. They used the wealth in supporting all types of Vaishnavas. I once heard that there were 500,000 devotees depending on the donations of Hiranya and Govardhan and Majumdar. These two would often arrange festivals. I look now at Manu, studying very carefully his every movement and avoid to listen to this kata. Maybe we should wait because everyone is looking only at you. These two also arranged Vaishnava festivals. We want to arrange a Vaishnava festival which brings toshani, or great satisfaction in the heart of the devotees. You must have a good speaker who touches the heart of the audience. You must have good kirtan. And at the end, you should serve everyone with a sumptuous feast of Krishna prasadam. So these two brothers did just that. When they heard that Haridas had crossed over the river and entered the village Saptagram, they immediately sent someone to invite Haridas to speak that very night. And when the villagers heard that Haridas Thakur, the famous saint who had lived in the forest of Vinapur and who had transformed Lakshahira to a great saintly person, when it was known that he came, the whole village merged together or came together at the place of Hiranya at Govardhan Mishra. And when Haridas Thakur entered the assembly, he was not an unknown figure. Everyone looked at him, and we can just imagine Haridas was very thin because he ate very, very frugally. Just a handful of rice kept him chanting the whole day and night. But there was an effulgence in Haridas Thakur. Do you know when a devotee looks effulgent? A devotee always looks effulgent when Krishna is in his heart. But a devotee looks dull, like ink spilled over a white piece of paper, when he has forgotten Krishna. At that time, he has a long face and he has a dark effulgence. So Haridas Thakur was like a walking sun. Everyone looked at him with great attention and started to talk. "Look," said someone, "this is the person who chants 192 rounds of the holy name each single day." And the assembly heard that Haridas Thakur chanted so much, they all became inspired to share with the rest of the assembly something they knew. "This chanting," said someone, "cleanses the heart and transforms the whole personality. Look at that prostitute." Another person said, "This chanting alone is so powerful that it frees from all reactions towards previous sins." And the third person commented, "That's all right, but I heard that the chanting of Krishna's holy name does not only free a person from sin, no, the chanting grants him an instant liberation from material life." But when Haridas heard about all this talk, he was sitting humbly in one corner and listened. But now when he was hearing the glorification of the holy name, he felt impelled to also say something. And what he said was so shocking and astonishing that everyone fell silent for a moment. He raised his voice and he said, "All what you have said, good people, is certainly true. But you have not mentioned the real result for someone who chants. The real result of someone who chants the holy name is that the holy name will enter his heart through the holes of the ear, and it will there bring forth the exalted love of Godhead. Now, this is the real glory of chanting the holy name. The chanter will eventually awake his love of Godhead to such an extent that he will see the most surprising Lord Krishna face to face. And then Haridas Thakur quoted a verse. He said, Krishna nama hoite papa Krishna rachana. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Obtaining freedom from material existence is simply a byproduct. Everyone was stunned. I believe they all had faith in Haridas Thakur, but nevertheless, to say that just by chanting the holy name, you get automatically liberated from material existence was just very, very amazing. You must know that the spiritual scene of Bengal and most of people's spiritual efforts was directed to attaining moksha, or liberation from the cycle of birth and death. And people did amazing things like fasting for 40 days, standing on their legs and meditating about the Brahman for a whole year. I have seen one person who didn't sleep for 2 years. No, 3 years. This is something for all of you to consider. Maybe you want to start this evening with your no sleep marathon for 3 years. And he somehow kept his head like this, and the nails of his hands were growing through his head and coming out the other side. And he did all this by simply meditating about Brahman. I have seen such a picture. But here Haridas Thakur says, the holy names are so powerful, you don't need to do all that. Just by a dim reflection of chanting, a person can obtain liberation. Again, everyone was stunned. Haridas Thakur had said, by a dim reflection of the holy name, a person can obtain moksha. A dim reflection is, for instance, if a person is reflected in a mirror, and the mirror is a little unclean, or there is a little mist and fog before it. It's not a clear reflection, but a very dull reflection. Such a reflection cannot talk, it cannot walk, it cannot satisfy the heart. So Haridas Thakur said, what to speak of the chanting of the holy name? We don't need that to get liberation. We just need to have a dim reflection about this. By that standard, I should be, I'm certainly liberated, because in my home we used to have Rama margarine. Is it called margarine?
Margarine.
And I would often say to my brother, can you just hand me the Rama? This is a dim reflection of the holy name. Chanting Rama without meaning the real Rama, but referring to the measuring. Or if someone just jokes and says, look at the Hare Krishnas, they have two different songs on their feet. This is a dim reflection. It is said and joking. It's not chanted with faith in Krishna, in the devotees it says that Dimri flesh. So Haridas Thakur said that a dim reflection, that means inattentive chanting really, would be enough to give one liberation from the vicious cycle of birth and death. Now when he said like this, there was one Brahmin, his name was Gopal Chakravarti. He had very aristocratic features, long hands, very fine carved facial features, and he was extremely well versed in the scriptures, and he just jumped up and said, "Nonsense. Look at what Kali Yuga does to people. You all listen to a person who is less than a sutra about the explanations of the Vedas. This is too much. If what Haridas Thakur has said is wrong, if it is wrong what he has said, I will personally take a knife and cut off his nose." That's quite something. Imagine someone here would threaten another one in the audience. If what you have said during the japa workshop or hari is wrong, then we will take a knife from the kitchen and serve the dogs your nose. It's a violent offense, really, to say such a thing. So, Haridas Thakur must have looked at the Brahmana who threatened to inflict such a torture on him. And as he looked at him, two tears came out of his eyes. These were tears of happiness. Haridas Thakur remembered his former life. In his former or previous birth, he was Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe. Krishna had appeared in Vrindavan. Just like all the other great devatas, Indra, Varuna and Shiva, Brahma was uncertain about Krishna's identity, because Krishna says he's covered by a curtain of the illusory potency. And just like here, we know Krishna's behind the altar, but we can't see him because there's this most beautiful but most effective cover before him. So all the great devatas were put in illusion by Krishna's cover. Now once Lord Brahma saw how Lord Krishna entered with his cowherd boyfriends the forest of Vrindavan, he saw how Krishna said, "This here is the perfect spot to eat our lunch." And he saw how all the boys said, "Oh, yes, correct, correct, correct." And how they unpacked their lunch packets, put them on leaves, some put them on stones, and started to eat. And while they were eating, Krishna was telling one of the boys, "Look, the bird is passing over there. How funny he looks." When the boy looked in this direction, Krishna took his hand and took some prasadam from the plate of the boy and ate it. Brahma saw this and thought, "Impossible! This is not God, who is the origin of the rules of cleanliness. This is an ordinary, moochy, unclean village boy who eats from the plates of another." I understand our Vihastas and Krishna consciousness do this sometimes. They eat to together from one plate, but according to Brahma's standard, that wouldn't be very clean. So Brahma said, this can't be God, the origin of the Vedas. But he was not sure. Maybe he is God. And Brahma got an idea. Let me test him. He stole the cows. And Krishna then got up and said, oh, our cows are not here. They wandered off most probably. Let me go and get them. And Krishna went away from his cowherd friends. And this was Brahma's intention. He immediately put a veil of magic on the boys, and they all fell asleep, and the Brahma stole them or picked them up one by one and brought them far away to his own planet. There he had arranged for very fine beds, because he thought maybe these are the friends of God, and if I put them on the ground, then on the floor, that's not so polite. So he put them in the beds. But they didn't notice anything. They were much like us at midnight, when we sleep so firm that there can be an earthquake and we don't notice it. So when Krishna came back, he hadn't found the calves. And he knew what Brahma was doing, but he pretended to act as a dramatic actor. And he said, Amahatra, I'm here, where are the rest of you? Yeah, Lord Krishna's nice calling went through the forest of the Vrindavan. I'm here, where are you? But there was no response. And Brahma thought, wow, he's an ordinary boy, isn't he? No, wrong. So Brahma came back, but when he came back, he saw that Krishna was surrounded by his million of cowherd boys and calves. He thought, what is this? Haven't I just stolen the boys, or am I a little forgetful? A lack of calcium in the brain, or what is happening? So he went quickly to the cave where he had hidden the boys to check if they were sleeping. Then he came a second time and saw all the boys and calves. And as he looked in amazement, he understood this is Krishna's magic. And at that moment, all of a sudden, each single boy and each single calf transformed into a beautiful, stunning, four-armed Vishnu form, because Krishna had expanded in all the stolen boys and calves. And Krishna wanted to show Brahma, hey, you are saying Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Look at this. Here you have all your Vasudevs. They are my expansions. Vasudev Vishnu forms. I have just expanded them for you to learn something. When Brahma saw this, he was stunned. He watched the great saints and sages paying their obeisances to the boys who had been manifested from Krishna's form, and he could not move. Finally, he fell off his swan carrier. He touched with all his helmets the ground and cried. Krishna was standing at that time before him with a little rice and fruit in his hand and smiled. Brahma got up, looked at the sweet form of Krishna, and remembering his offense of having stolen the cowherd boy to test Krishna. He then fell on the ground. Then he thought, now I can't see the sweetness of my Lord. Let me get up. He got up again. Then, boom, he remembered his guilty feelings. Fell down. He could not stop from rising and falling. Then Brahma started to chant beautiful prayers, very philosophical prayers. He said, some think they know you. Let them think like this. As far as I am concerned, your innumerable qualities and features and aspects are incountable, just like the snowflakes, which are incountable. No one in his right mind, not even the greatest Vedic Pandit, can ever say they know your qualities. Okay? When he said like this, Krishna went and laughed, just like a little boy. You may say, what is so funny? But Krishna chose to play like a little boy, and when Brahma, who has four heads, was speaking, it was Krishna saw four mouths speaking at the same time, and it looked so funny that he had to laugh. Very sweet and very innocent. When Brahma had finished his prayer, he was a little insecure. The mighty creator of the universe was bewildered by Krishna's power, and he was doubly bewildered by Krishna's sweetness. And then he said something. And all this, you know, Haridas is just offended, someone threatens to cut off his nose, and he sees all this before his eyes. And he thought, Brahma thought, I don't know, because of my elevated position as Lord Brahma, I'm extremely proud. What if the Lord appears in another incarnation and I meet him and I again make the same mistake to challenge my Lord, to try to see who is more powerful, or I or Krishna? Then he thought, in the Kali Yuga, this Krishna will appear as Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He will not look out for any qualification, but give love of Godhead to everyone. This Chaitanya is my only shelter. Thinking like this, Lord Brahma left his planet in Satyaloka and went to Navadvipa, where the nine arms of the Ganga meet. And he started to chant with all his heart, Gauranga, 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 Gauranga. Then as Brahma looked, he could see a supernatural light. And right before his eyes, right here, devotees, listen to this very carefully. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. All the 10 directions were dazzled by the effulgence from his transcendental body. And he looked more beautiful than the God of love. Seeing him, you could not take your eyes away from him. He had a very broad chest and unusually long arms which reached down to the knees. And on his body there were various ornaments. His eyes were extremely long. They reached to the ears. Günther has big eyes, see, but the eyes don't reach to the ears. This is a fault in your physical construction. just imagine Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eyes were really big and reached to the ears. You can see these big eyes in the deities in Sridharmayapur. They also have these extraordinary big eyes. And his face was more beautiful than 10 million moons. Lord Chaitanya had this slight smile on his face. And Lord Brahma saw Lord Chaitanya, his body started to shake. He couldn't control himself any longer. And he fell down on the ground. And he cried so much that the whole earth became muddy and his body became all covered with the dust of Navadvipa. When Lord Chaitanya saw Brahma in this condition, he said, "Oh Brahma, I'm very pleased with your chanting of Gauranga. Have you any desire? Have you worshipped me because you want something from me? Speak out, Brahma." And Brahma began to speak. "I'm very wretched. Due to my proud nature, I've forgotten your lotus feet and I have become involved in material pleasure. The scriptures describe me, Mahadev and Indra, as your servants, but I have not acted like your servant. I have challenged you because I sometimes get influenced by your Maya Shakti. I'm not a pure devotee. I've wasted the first half of my life. But I will waste also the second half of my life because I'm so external, so superficial. There's one thing which I want from you. When you appear, let me appear with you as your lowest devotee. I want to be born in a family where everyone spits upon me. I want a low birth of a family of Muslims who offend your devotees. In this way there will be no reason for me to be proud again. I know that I can only come to you if I give up this mountain of pride, and only in the constant association of your devotees, in your pastimes, I feel safe, completely safe." Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, "Granted, tatastu. Next birth, you won't be the creator of the universe. You will be a very humble devotee who will be offended by people. But this will give rise in deep humility, so that in your chanting you will not be blinded by pride. pride, but you will be a lover of Krishna. When you give up your body, you will come with me in the eternal, you will come to me in my eternal kingdom. This is my blessing to you. But Brahma said, before you leave, my Lord, I have one question. I've heard that you give love of Godhead through the chanting of the holy name. But tell me, why is it that you appear? What is your purpose? Gaurang Mahaprabhu said, listen, Brahma, I will tell you. What is meant to be a secret? You are the author of many scriptures, but don't mention this in any of your writings. I have come, I will come as Gauranga, because I am so much in love with my greatest devotee, Srimati Radharani, that I want to understand her love for me. Kindly know that I will come as a devotee and I will experience what my greatest devotee Radha feels in the heart. And listen to another secret. Anyone who makes his contact to me in my form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he will develop the same love which the residents of Goloka Vrindavan have for me. I will take all my devotees to Vrindavan down. When Lord Chaitanya had heard this, when Lord Chaitanya had said this, Brahma saw him disappearing and Brahma cried, please, now a little bit with fire. Ha Gauranga!
Ha Gauranga!
Ha Dina Bandhu!
Ha Dina Bandhu!
Ha Bhakta Vatsala!
Ha Bhakta Vatsala!
When will I attain your lotus feet?
When will I attain your lotus feet?
So Haridas Thakur remembered his past life, and here he was, previously the creator of the universe. And one Brahmana said to him, if what you say is wrong, I cut off your nose. But he didn't say harm, Brahma. Who do you think you are? He said very humbly, no need, if what I say is wrong, I will cut off my nose myself to save you the trouble. After a few days, something extraordinary happened. Leprosy attacked Gopal Chakravarti at the nose, and the nose melted away and was gone. All his beauty was gone, because if you see in the face only the bones of the nose, your beauty is gone. I want to end here. There are a few lessons which we can take from this pastime. One lesson is that when we do something wrong in spiritual life, this catches up with us. When I was in South Africa, I learned that of all the crimes which are reported, only 5% are solved. In other words, they catch only 5% of the criminals. So sometimes people think in South Africa, oh, it's much more easy to be a thief and then to have an honest work, because I have 95% chance to not get caught. But in the spiritual life, it is not like that. Your mistakes find you, like a calf will find a cow, even amongst millions of other cows. So Gopal Chakravarti, who made such an offense against Haridas Thakur, was caught by the universal government. But on the positive side, I believe very much in the statements of Haridas Thakur that the holy name is so powerful in bestowing the highest goal. To ask, the only question is, how do we chant Hare Krishna? A world of music enters now the temple room. Nice to see you. My recommendations to you in closing this evening is, chant in a way that your mind gets absorbed in the chanting. Chant in a way where you are attentive, and while you chant, look for shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. I was today in a sharing group, and my sharing partner said somehow he has found out one needs to bring some devotional feeling to one's chanting. And the easiest devotional feeling for a devotee is really to seek shelter. I think you know, alone you cannot always handle all the difficult situations of your life. But with Krishna, everything is possible, provided you have his shelter. I also want to recommend to you, chant early in the morning. There are less disturbing vibrations in the morning. Chant in a good spiritual environment. At home you can make a little altar. Even when you study music, you can have your altar. And always try to chant in the association of other devotees. We will try to do this now. I wanted to invite Manu to sing this evening with all of us. I want to also affectionately greet in the name of all the devotees from the Kirtan course one very talented teacher, Surabhi Kunj, isn't it? Surabhi Kunj. You can see Surabhi Kunj has maybe brought 50 flutes, bamboo flutes, and she will be teaching us, the students, karatal instruments. But if we want to request Surabhi Kunj to play the flute for the deities today, would you be comfortable to join? Yes? Very good. So we are very happy that you have returned. We thought we could not start without you, but we nevertheless boldly started. But now we are complete. Very welcome. Hare Krishna. Alright, so then I think the deities will most probably open
in 20 minutes.
So we can sit here ourselves like this, and we can establish the instruments and the chant. And thank you, Muneeshwara Hari. Have you noticed how wonderful the whole orchestra comes to Muneeshwara Hari? It's very pleasing to listen to the pastimes of the Lord when we have such good service attitude of the Lord.
Haridas Thakur ki
jai,
Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki
jai,
Go Premanandi, Hari Hari.